Galatians 6:8. For he who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. Galatians 6:8. For he who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. Galatians 6:8. Galatians 5:13. For ye were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but the love serve one another. Galatians 5:13. For ye were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Galatians 5:13. Romans 12:17. Never retaliate, pay back evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans 12:17. Never retaliate, pay back evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans 12:13. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. We spent a moment in prayer before we begin our study today, realizing, as always, the importance of being in proper relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ as we study His Word. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful again for the opportunity which is ours now to open our hearts and minds to your wonderful word. We realize that we have many opportunities in life, and we're thankful indeed today that we're privileged to have this opportunity to focus our minds upon eternal truths. We pray that we'll be able to receive, metabolize, utilize these magnificent truths. We thank you for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 says, it's on the screen for you to see, be angry with righteousness, indignation, and yet do not sin. I'm sure that you're able to see that your translations, whatever translation you have there, is different. It says, to be angry and do not sin. You'll notice that we have on the screen today Ephesians 4:26, be angry with righteousness, indignation, yet do not sin. I want to begin today by just giving you some information in relationship to the subject of anger. You want to take some of this information. I trust that you will today, because there's a tremendous amount of information and verses of Scripture that we're going to share with you. First of all, there are three kinds of anger mentioned in the Bible. Three kinds of anger mentioned in the Bible. Confirmed by observation and confirmed by experience. I go slow enough for you to write. There are three kinds of anger mentioned in the Bible and confirmed by observation and experience. The first two words are found in Ephesians 4:31 and 32. The first two words are found in Ephesians 4:31, 32. There we read, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Notice, if you will, the way we find these words in the original language. The first two words are found in Ephesians 4:31, 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage. The Greek word there is thumos, T-H-U-M-O-S. And anger, and the Greek word there is orge. I'm going to go slow enough for you to write these words, because I think it's important for you to have them in your notes. One Greek word is thumos, T-H-U-M-O-S. Another Greek word is orge, O-R-G-E. The first two words are found in Ephesians 4, 31, 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, thumos, and anger, orge. Also could be translated brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ Jesus, as Christ God forgave you. These are the two verses, Ephesians 4, 31, 32. Notice, if you will, get rid of all bitterness, rage, thumos, and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Then verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ, just as Christ that God forgave you. Ephesians 4, 31, 32. We're going to analyze these words now. The first word is thumos, which means a turbulent commotion, an explosion of temper or rage. If you want to define words, it would be good for you to have these words defined. The first word is the Greek word thumos, T-H-U-M-O-S, which means a turbulent commotion, an explosion of temper, a rage. This is the pit bull kind of anger. This is the rage that destroys, the rage that abuses. Perhaps more emotionally than the word orge. I'm letting you have time to write. The first word is thumos, which means a turbulent commotion, an explosion of temper, a rage. This is the pit bull kind of anger. It is the rage that destroys, the rage that abuses, perhaps more emotional than orge. The second word then is orge, which means a long-lasting attitude that continues to seek revenge. It's important to get these words defined. Orge, a long-lasting attitude that continues to seek revenge. It could also be defined as resentment. This kind of anger reminds us of the cobra, which carries out its schemes with cunning, methodical devices, emotionless planning. This kind of anger can abuse, deceive, and blame without a twinge of conscience. What distinguishes it from thumos, the pit bull anger, is that orge is usually not out of control. In fact, the person with this kind of anger takes pride in his ability to remain calm and collected as his schemes are carried out. He's the kind of person who will clean his gun in the presence of his wife, just to remind her of what could happen were she to defy him. I don't know whether you're really hearing this. The third Greek word for anger is agnakties. Agnakties. It's found in 2 Corinthians 7:11, which means indignation. It is a kind of indignation that usually brings about appropriate behavior. Of course, there's not a neat division between these kinds of anger and real life. Some abusers might act like a pit bull one day, a cobra the next, and be appropriately indignant the day after that. In any case, the person who is filled with rage might be charming or intimidating or cunning. and maybe all three at once. Interestingly, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, the word most often translated anger is A-P-H, which means nostrils. This is a word picture of someone whose nostrils are flared or snorting with anger. We sometimes speak of someone who is hot under the collar. That is, someone whose blood vessels are inflamed because of anger. When you go to Ephesians 4:26, it says, "Be ye angry and sin not." Or we could read it like this: "Although you may have become angry, stop sinning." What do you think about that translation? Although you may have become angry, stop sinning. This verse is quoted from Psalm 4, which is about David's righteous indignation at the revolt of his son Absalom. He's resisting the temptation to become angry. "Tremble with anger, yet do not sin." He was tempted to become angry at Absalom because Absalom had used his position to start a revolution against his father. But he didn't become angry. He trusted the Lord. I put in parentheses there, occupation with the Lord. And he asked the army to spare Absalom. This is found in 2 Samuel 18:5. It is possible to respond to unfairness or offense without sin. A person may sin against you, yet you can remain without sin. You can put the matter in the Lord's hands. Stay in harmony with the Lord, in fellowship with the Lord. Maintain a relaxed mental attitude. Furthermore, because you stay in fellowship, you are in the best position to be of service in the situation. You can forgive the other person and be open to any reconciliation he might offer. You will at least do your part to keep lines of communication open. The Bible continually emphasizes righteousness and righteousness maintained in the face of unfair treatment. You cannot build your happiness on someone else's misery. This is what retaliation tries to do. Very interesting. You cannot build your happiness on someone else's misery. This is what retaliation tries to do. But what you'll never obtain happiness through revenge or by straightening out the other person. To punish someone else using verbal sins or violence is a revenge operation. Worse yet, it obstructs divine judgment and discipline. The scripture says, "Judge not that you be not judged," which is intended to warn us to let the Lord handle the matters of sins against us. The angry person who aggregates to himself the position of judge is in a position of compounded divine discipline himself. Worse off, the one who originally caused the trouble. Perhaps you've read that the scripture says, "The anger of the Lord." The Lord is said to have anger, or to be angry, in several places in the Bible. The word anger is used as an anthropopathism, a word or phrase that ascribes human characteristics or feelings to God who is not human. I don't know how much you want to write of this information, but the Lord is said to have anger or to be angry. In several places throughout the Word of God, the word anger is used as an anthropopathism. In the past, we've studied the words anthropomorphism and anthropopathism. Anthropopathism is a word or phase, a phrase that ascribes human characteristics or feelings to God, who is, of course, not human. God never reacts emotionally. He's never surprised. He's never shocked. He's never outraged. But he does have an attitude of wrath or anger against some things. The phrase, the anger of the Lord, is used in many different passages of Scripture. If you're interested in writing these down, the anger of the Lord is presented in Numbers 25:4, Numbers 32:14, Deuteronomy 29:20, Judges 3:8. I realize that you cannot copy all these verses, but they'll be on the internet for you. Mental attitude sins produce misery in soul and body. It's important for us to see that mental attitude sins produce misery in our souls and even in our bodies. Number four, only a mature believer can handle legitimate anger and avoid sinful anger. When I come to our scripture, Ephesians 4:26, it presents the results of recovery of vertical viewpoint and residence in the system of love. That's our verse. I had to make a decision of what I would do today, and I felt like what I needed to do is just let you see some of these subjects related to the subject of anger. I have before me Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and do not sin. When I look at that word be angry, I notice that it is a present passive imperative verb. Now, we don't have to spend a lot of time here, but it's interesting to see that this is a verb in the present tense, which means continuous action, which says be sinful, be angry. It's a continuous action word. Be angry. And then I notice it's a passive voice. The subject receives the action. That's an interesting thing. Then I notice it's a verb in the command. It's an imperative verb. I thought that was quite interesting. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry. A command. Be the recipient. Passive voice. Continuous action. Present tense. What does all this mean? Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Stop giving place to the devil. Verse 27. What I want to do now is to ask you, if you desire, to have verses of Scripture from the Bible on the subject of anger. I'm going to read. I'll give you the reference before and after. Ecclesiastes 7:9, if you want to write this. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. For anger resisteth in the bosom. Anger resisteth in the bosom of fools. All I'm doing now is reading the scripture to you. That's Ecclesiastes 7:9. It has to refer to us as fools if we find ourselves in consistently a state of anger. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. That's Proverbs 16:32. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be self-controlled and alert. Resist the devil, for he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking prey. Resist him, standing firm and steadfast in the faith. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. We're talking about anger. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. All your brothers are facing the same problems that you are, and yet they're surviving. Anger can bring about anxiety. You may want to just write one word to describe. Anger can affect anxiety. Anger can affect your health. How anger affects your health. Intense and uncontrolled anger is linked to health conditions such as high blood pressure. Anger affects your health. Intense and uncontrolled anger is linked to health conditions such as headaches, backaches, skin conditions, digestive disorders, such as irritable bowel syndrome, depression, anxiety, stroke, heart attack. Anger can weaken your immune system, so you're more likely to pick up infections and you're less able to recover from operations, accidents, or major illnesses. Anger also makes you more sensitive to pain. If anger is hidden or buried, it can lead to eating disorders, self-injury, misuse or drugs, alcohol, low self-esteem. So much of this information is received from the Mayo Clinic. Mayo Clinic staff anger management tips. 10 tips to help get your anger under control. If you have trouble with this, realize it's important to take what we would classify as a timeout. Although it may seem cliche, counting to 10 before reacting really can diffuse your temper. Number 2, Mayo Clinic, get some space. Take a break from the person you're angry with until your frustration subside a bit. I'm sure no one in this auditorium needs any of this, but I'm sharing it just the same. Number 3, once you're calm, express your anger. It's healthy to express frustrations in a non-confrontational way. Stewing about it can make the situation worse. Number 4, get some exercise. Physical activity can provide an outlet for your emotions, especially if you're about to erupt. Go for a brisk walk or run, swim, lift weights, shoot baskets. You didn't realize you're going to be getting this kind of information. Number 5, think carefully before you say anything. Otherwise, you're likely to say something you'll regret. I don't know whether anyone in this auditorium or anyone hearing my voice needs to hear this, but I think it's also good for you to have it. Think carefully before you say anything. Otherwise, you're likely to say something you'll regret. It can be helpful to write down what you want to say so that you can stick to the issues. When you're angry, it's easy to get sidetracked. Number 6, identify solutions to the situation. Instead of focusing on what made you mad, work with the person who angered you to resolve the issue at hand. Number 7, use I statements when describing the problem. Use I statements when describing the problem. This will help you to avoid criticizing or placing blame, which can make the other person angry or resentful and increase tension. For instance, say, I'm upset with you. Didn't help with the housework this evening? Instead of, you should have helped with the housework this evening. Number 8, don't hold a grudge. If you can forgive the other person, it will help you both. It's unrealistic to expect everyone to behave exactly as you want them to behave. I thought that was interesting. I'm sure that all of you want the other person to act like you want them to act. It will help you both not to hold a grudge. If you can forgive the other person, it will help you both. It's unrealistic to expect everyone to behave exactly as you want. Number 9, use humor to release tensions. Lighten up and help diffuse tension. Lightening up. Don't use sarcasm, though. It can hurt feelings and make things worse. Number 10, practice relaxation skills. Learning skills to relax and distress can also help control your temper when it may flare up. Number 1, again, human anger never practices the things that God can approve. Human anger never practices the things that God can approve. Some of these statements have to be written down and thought through to be able to appreciate. Human anger never practices the things that God can approve. Number 2, anger blocks God's good from the life. Anger blocks God's good from the life. Number 3, bitterness never makes us better. Bitterness never makes us better. If you find yourself bitter, you can put it down, you will not be better. That's a good statement to record. Bitterness never makes us better. These are statements, I believe, that are good not only for us as adults, but it is good for us as parents to share with our children. Bitterness never makes us better. A temper, number 4, a temper that is hot never leads to a life that is holy. A temper that is hot never leads to a life that is holy. I have to let you know that research makes it possible for me to have this information to share with you. Number 1 again, human anger never practices the things that God can approve. Number 2, anger blocks God's good from the life. Number 3, bitterness never makes us better. Number 4, a temper that is hot never leads to a life that is holy. Number 5, I've used this many times through these last years. It's often been said, when you throw mud, you lose ground. That's not original with me. I like that statement, and I've used it over and over and over again. Every time you throw mud, you lose ground. Number 6, unbridled anger is a devastating sin. Number six again, unbridled anger is a devastating sin. Number seven, it can create a distance in relationships. Anger can create a distance in relationships. Anger can disturb children and not accomplish anything good. I don't know if you are a daddy that's captivated in the area of anger, or a mother, or a child. I believe it's good for us to hear these things and let it sink into us personally. Anger can create a distance in relationships. Anger can disturb children and not accomplish anything that's good. When you go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, Jesus labeled anger as the root sin behind murder. Matthew 5, 21, 22. Jesus labeled anger as the root sin behind murder. That's number eight. Number nine, before Cain committed the first murder in history, God confronted him with a question. Why are you angry? You find that in Genesis 4, 6. That's number nine. Before Cain committed the first murder in history, God confronted him with the question, Genesis 4, 6, why are you angry? Number 10, Paul tells us that unchecked anger gives the devil a foothold in life. Number 10 again, Paul tells us that unchecked anger gives the devil a foothold in life. That's our scripture here in Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. What is so sad is that homes, and yes, even churches, are often torn apart by anger. You might want to write that. Homes, and yes, even churches, are often torn apart by anger. People often hide the anger and sin not. Righteous anger is normally not righteous. We discover that we have an emphasis in this scripture on righteous indignation. Let me pause to talk about that for a second. What is the meaning of righteous indignation? That means to be disgusted and angry with those things that are not right, with that which is false. That's righteous indignation. In Galatians 5:20, Paul gives a list. Strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and deeds of the flesh. Be ye angry and sin not. Righteous anger is normally not righteous. Righteous indignation means to have the right disagreement with those things that are wrong. Righteous indignation. Number 13, we must face reality. If we cannot make it through a week without anger, then we are addicted in the realm of anger. If you find yourself yelling, name-calling, throwing things, making threats, then anger has control. 14, face the problem. Admit the problem to God. Take steps to root the problem out. Allow something far greater to take charge of your life. I realize that these are startling statements. Be ye angry, command, and sin not. Have the right attitude toward life. You've listened so well. May we pray together, please. 1 minute before we go home. This last minute is designed for those who hear this message who may have some problems in this area. But whatever the problem is, God has the ability and the strength and the power to give to us victory and triumph. The first thing is you must ask yourself the question, am I a believer in Jesus Christ? Am I saved by God's grace? If not, that is your need. The scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. That's your first need. If you have problems in the area about which we've spoken today, be aware of the fact that God is the giver of victory and triumph. And we're to place our trust and confidence in Him. Pray and ask Him to give you grace and strength. Study God's Word daily. Pray often. Stay in harmony with Him. Study His Word so that you can see from a divine vertical viewpoint. So that you'll be able to see yourself as you are and see what God's plan is for your life. Father, thank You for this time that we've had to look deep within and see ourselves as we are. We pray that You will guide our lives, and whatever the situation is, whatever the problems may be, help us to know that there's always victory in our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.